Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning to you. This is Bishop Randy Dean. Back again. Another episode of Alive to Love. All lesser values than love, as far as I'm concerned, they easily slide into and devolve down into the rabbit hole of BS. Bait and switch, or whatever other assignment you want to make to BS. Love is the one value worth all your time, all your effort, and all your mind, and all your processing of this world, and its ups, its downs, its sideways. Wherever you are, whoever you are, in whatever means you are being thrown at, as far as are you wealthy, are you poor, are you middle class, whatever means you live by, love is the one thing worth everything. There is no other, there's no other category or characteristic for living that, in my view, matters as love matters. So I'm here every week giving you my thoughts, my purposes, my dreaming, my writing, my desires to pass along to you what I see is the credible value, the credible work of love. I know other things can and should be done. We should be trustworthy. We should be faithful. We should be kind. We should show mercy. All of those virtues are so worth it. But even those great virtues easily become something else if love isn't their nuclear core, if love does not empower, for instance, faithfulness. I can be faithful all day long and be crabby and mad at people. But when my love is the nuclear core, it's the engine that is pulling that vehicle along, then faithfulness becomes something other than just white-knuckling your way through tragedy, white-knuckling your way through simplicity. Faithfulness becomes something other than what we really should and could have as a credible value without love. So welcome. All of that is to say, welcome to Alive to Love. All lesser values to me are potential BS. So every week when we come here to the No BS Bishop, I do some things routinely to kind of carry this whole purpose along so that my pilgrimage with you has some basic parameters. It's got some curbs on either side of the street, so we're on the street. We know we're going in a similar direction together. One of the things I do with you every week is Love's Creed. This is something that I've written and I live by. It's been off and on for years. It's been one of my New Year's resolutions. But now it's my creed, and I pass this along to you for your, just for your perusal, for your contemplation. So I'll repeat it. I'll give it to you in total. Then I'll come back and repeat it like I would wedding vows at a marriage altar for the husband and the wife. But let me give it to you in total so you can absorb the concepts, and then we'll go back, and then I'll give it to you in small bursts like a wedding vow. All right, here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. Well, there you have it. There it is in total. Now let me go back and give it to you in short bursts. I have you do this because it's important to hear our own commitment to ideas we believe in. What we hear develops some kind of operational faith when we hear ourselves say it in particular. When I say to somebody, I'm going to be there tomorrow at noon, and I've heard myself say that, it's better than me just thinking, well, I'll be back here tomorrow at noon. When I say it, I know something more than just the casual thought. So here you go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. If you'd like a copy of that, you could email me at Randy Dean Ministries, all lowercase, all one word, randydeanministries@gmail.com. Be happy to send you a copy. No bait and switch, no trying to get your email so I can develop some kind of fundraising email. Not at all. I would simply love to serve you with that if you are interested in getting a copy. I've found that many people are starting to catch the momentum of this creed, and I've heard others repeat it. I spoke at a church not long ago where I shared Love's Creed, and it seemed like there were just enough people amongst that crowd who have heard me give this, and boy, did we ever raise the roof with Love's Creed. I hope you do that daily on some form. You put it on a 3x5 card, stick it on your visor in your car, or perhaps in your computer or your device, your phone, your iPad. Or put it on the mirror in the morning when you look at the mirror and you see yourself. You can just tell yourself, this is what I'm alive for today. I'm staying on this subject of love, as I have with you for 4 years here, to say to you that there is something so deep, so wide, so high, so phenomenal about this subject that it deserves our full attention, and it deserves somebody. I'll volunteer. It deserves somebody to come along and make sure we're unpacking this, make sure we're pulling this toward our thinking on a regular basis, so that everything we're doing, we're reminding ourselves, does that look like love? Is this going to be a loving thing to do? I've many times here said, make sure you're not just being codependent or enabling to give somebody a reason to keep walking in their addiction, and then you call it love. No, that's not love. That's codependency, and that needs some help. You need a counselor, or you need a support group to get you out of codependency. But I can love. I can love even a person dripping with the pain of addiction. I can love them, and at the same time know how to see that addiction as the monster that's trying to kill them. But I will love that person and separate them from their sickness, the sickness of addiction, and see this as a person suffering. And by seeing them suffering, my love prevents me from giving more power to the disease. But I want to give more power to that individual to overcome that disease. You've heard me say here multiple times, John 15, 12, and 13, Jesus said these words. Now, I'm repeating this because I want to go back into a deep dive and why this is the subject we all need to be somehow enamored with every day. Jesus said, "This is my commandment." Now, I want to stop there for a moment. It is as if he is saying, you've heard Moses give you commandments. You've heard the prophets give you commandments, but here's my commandment. This is the commandment that you're getting from me. Now, Jesus is greater than Moses, folks. I hope you know that. Moses is a great guy, but he's no Jesus. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down their life for their friends. Now, those two verses all by themselves deserve our full attention, and I could go through 100 other verses that are very similar, but to make my point here, this is the commandment of Jesus. This is the commandment of folks who call themselves Christians. This is the commandment. It's not one among many commandments. We're not being asked to do this along with others. This is the fulfillment of all the law and the prophets. That's another verse that Jesus uses. So it just astonishes me that when Jesus gives this as a summary of all of his discipleship, his kingdom way of life, when he just rolls it up into one word, it seems to me we need to give that one word our full attention. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that by giving it full attention for a day, we'll have it figured out. No, in fact, quite the contrary. If you give it your full attention for one day, I hope you become so possessed by it that you'll spend the rest of your days paying attention to that. So I would give you three. I'm going to be a good preacher boy today. I'm going to give you 3 points about this. So if you've got a pencil and paper, want to make note of it, take note of this. So every time I look at this one commandment, I come down to 3 basic conclusions. 1, if this is it, then I simply cannot act like love is just an easy peasy way through life. If Jesus is saying, you're going to love like me, I look at Jesus and he is living in this complex venue of interacting with political powers of his day, the religious powers of his day, his own friends. He's in a wide spider web, if you will, of all kinds of back and forth and interactions. If this is it, though, if this is the commandment that he says, this is it, I cannot afford to act like love is so easy peasy. Now I've got to behave toward love as the deeply complex principle that it really is. It is so complex that I will spend all my days going through the nuances, walking through the principles, asking myself hard questions every day. Is this loving? Does this look like love? So, 1, if this is it, I simply cannot act like love is simple or easy. And now 2, if this is it, this one commandment Jesus said, if this is it, well then I'm compelled to find a way to dive headlong into the deep end of love, to be done with all of my shallow versions, to be done with all of my excuses, to be done with looking for a way out of love, finding excuses why love is just too hard, or we can't just love. I hear that often. But the truth is, 2, if this is it, I've got to find a way to go to the deep end of this. What are the working parts of love? What are those principles of love that develop toward a lifetime of satisfaction, a lifetime of real interaction with my family, my friends, my neighbors, my community, my nation, my world? What are the complexities of this enormous subject of love? And how can I dive into the deep end of it? Getting out of the kiddie pool, right? Walking away from those moments with love where I say, yeah, well, it's kind of nice over here in the ankle deep water, and I don't know if I want to get into that deep water over there, because boy, you could really be misunderstood if you're over there, and you could really find yourself in all kinds of trouble if you'll get over there. But no, it's a bit like the old movie where John Wayne takes a young 8-year-old boy, I think he is, he asks him, can you swim? And the boy said no. Then John Wayne picks him up in the storyline of the movie, picks him up and throws him out in the water. Well, the young lad's mother comes running, screaming, you got to go help him. And John Wayne, the character, says, well, no, he'll find his way out. And she said, he doesn't know how to swim. And he says, I know that. He's learning. Watch. And so he watched this young lad paddling his way toward shoreline. And he learned how to swim. And he said, John Wayne's character says to the mom, says, well, why didn't you jump in? She said, well, I can't swim. And then the character John Wayne looks at her, and she realizes, uh-oh, if I stay close to him physically, he's going to throw me in the water. And she runs away. There's my point. Get out of the shallow end. Get away from the kiddie pool. go to the deep end and learn, even if it is the hard way, learn love. So number one, if it is love, if this is it, I simply cannot act like love is easy peasy. Number two, if this is it, if love is it, then I'm going to need to find a way to dive into the deep end of love. Go ahead and discover the complexities. And number three, if this is it, if love is it, then I'm going to confess and commit myself to be left with a need to do anything, everything I can, learn all I must, and to discover what Ephesians, when Paul says in Ephesians, discover the breadth, the length, the height, the width of the reality of love. So, you see, this is why every week on some level I say to you, love is not a sprint. Love is not an immediate feeling. Love is a marathon. Love is a mountain climb. It's a pilgrimage. It's a purpose of life that will carry you through all of the nuances of life, one way or another. Me, myself, and I, those are the three human beings that I must be purposed to connect love to, all of the me, all of the myself, and all of the I. Get me, myself, and I involved in love rather than involved in figuring out what's wrong with everybody else, staying preoccupied with the problems other people obviously have and I obviously don't have. If only they would just live like me, they wouldn't have problems. Well, here's the challenge with that. We are, each one of us, called to live our own life. To live our own life without the preoccupation and, dare I say, the addiction to pointing at other people's failures, to be addicted to how fallen and flawed folks are, simply keeps me away from being a person of significant, real love. To be alive to love, not on this earth for hate, to be alive for love, to be breathing, eating, and sleeping, to regain energy, not for causing pain, but for love, to have plans and dreams and designs locked in anything and everything that is love, and being unavailable for anything less than love. Because as I said when I started here today, Jesus said, this is it. This is my commandment. You had 10 commandments from Moses, but then those 10 commandments parlayed out into hundreds of other nuances. But when Jesus comes along, he doesn't throw away Moses. He says, I have not come to throw away the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill them. Interesting, isn't it? To fulfill all of those dozens, scores, and hundreds of little nuances of commandments that flow out of the Big Ten, I call them, Ten Commandments. To be people of love is to discover what any meaning to any of those commandments may have had. Our journey in this world is forever to discover in myself where my living hasn't been as loved as it could or should have been. I've talked about this so many times that we are, every one of us, living in some love deficit, and then out of that love deficit, we're perpetuating the pains that come from being in a love deficit. And then to the degree we perpetuate those pains, well, we're giving other people other reasons to have their own love deficits. My goal, my purpose, my dream, my desire for this radio broadcast and any other means I have to reach out to the wide world around me, my goal is to say, let's honestly look at our love deficits and then honestly seek means by which we can find the deposits into our love life. How can I make deposits in the bank of my love so that my love is no longer in the red, but it's a growing account. It's a growing, strengthening support system for being a loving human being, right? To find in me the deficits that have caused me to be in injury or pain of some description, but to move from those injuries and those pains toward being a healer, a mender of other lives, so that when I'm faced with other people's love deficits, I'm not examining them for how bad they are. I'm recognizing myself in their love deficits. I hope you heard that. If this is it, I gave you 3 points today. If this is it, then I simply cannot act like love is easy peasy. Well, to that end, now my love demands of me not to judge others, but to see myself in others. Number two, if this is it, then I need to find a way to live in the deep end of love, which is so much harder than I really want it to be. I mean, I'd love to stay in the shallow end where I can just stand in the nice, cool water. But now, with an understanding that, as Jesus said, my one commandment is this, if this is it, I'll get it out. Just bear with me. I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth. I couldn't see where I was going. If this is it, then I've got to dive into the deep end. And in the deep end of love, there are complexities. The complexity of other human beings whose love deficits have created such painful valleys. And to know that my only means of working with other folks who are living in their deficits, my only means of living and working with them, is to be in the deep end of love itself. And then number three, to know that I'm left with a need to do everything I can, learn all I must, and discover the breadth, the length, the height, the width, and the reality of love. When I walk about this world in my different purposes, I have three main goals, not goals, but three main vocations that I walk in. They are all, though, gathered into this one vocation of my calling. I, many years ago, knew that I was called to be a preacher, to be a minister. That's a whole nother story in itself. But I know that is my main calling. But out of that main calling, there are three vocations that I reach through. But in every one of my vocations, I look at the law of love as the premise, the stand upon which I am understanding what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to do? I'm 70. What am I supposed to do with my life now? What am I supposed to be in this life now? More of a lover. More of a lover of other people about me. More of a lover of the big wide world God made. And as Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends, and that you love one another just as I have loved you. No doubt in my mind, that's going to take all of my days. Well, let me bring this in for a landing. We're here every week with some basic things to do, and one of the basic things we did earlier with Love's Creed is done, but now the basic things that I want to lead you in is to breathe well. To be a person of good, healthy breathing. Research has taught us that as Americans, type A in particular, go, 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 produce, 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 work, 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 we don't breathe well. So in breathing, we find that we are relaxing. We're slowing ourselves down. When we breathe, or we're aware of our breath, we come to realize breathing gives us peace. So on the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can. Hold it in the basement of your lungs, and then exhale. All right? One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. My wife and I have a signal to each other. Whenever things get tense, whenever things get to be on that struggle side of life, we look at each other in some form or another. We say, breathe, just breathe. So when we breathe, we know we're slowing it down. Stop the racing thoughts and chill. Now the second thing we do, and this is something I know I'm known for, and I love being known for this. I'll just say it that way. And that is, I tell people that it's quite a challenge to look people in the eye and to give them the opportunity to hear somebody say, I love you. That is, it's a lot, when you first start doing it, it's a lot weirder than you might have thought. It's a lot more awkward than what you might be prepared for. And the reason is we just have made those three holy, powerful, magical words something that they never should have been. They should have always been a part of the human vocabulary for all of our lives. So, though you can't see me, I'm looking at you through the radio, through your computer, and I'm saying to you slowly, and if I could make eye contact, I would. I love you. I know we have to be aware of who we're saying it to and what our motives are. I know that. And I know that it can be misunderstood, and I know that it can be misapplied. I know that. But just because something can be abused is no reason to run away from it and never attempt it. It needs to be recovered for its truest purpose and for its most healthy purpose. Find somebody. Give them eye contact. You know, and acknowledge, hey, I'm going to do something. It'll be a little odd for you, but please trust me, bear with me, and look them right in the eye and slowly but surely say, hey, I love you. It is a journey. It's quite an experience. And I know it's a challenge. But I also know everything worth doing that is valuable in this life is a challenge in its purpose and in its practice. All good things are challenging. This one's challenging. And I give you this challenge. I lay before you to be alive to love, even in saying those holy, charmed, and magical words to somebody today. All right? Now go out there and do something beautiful, people, because, oh, ugly is getting done to death. It is now time for people of love. People who say, I'm alive to love, and there's no other reason why I'm eating, breathing, and sleeping, but to regain energy, to find a way to be a lover in this world. Peace to you all, and most of all, love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.